Welcome to the Everyday Nerd Podcast. You're talking with your boy Lou P right now, and it is great and fun today, because guess what? We are all here today.
Hey!
So obviously, that's DJ GOC, who's finally in the house live.
I know.
And all of you folks already know Jocelyn.
See? Hey!
So all the popular people know Joss right there. And today, we are going to discuss Shazam.
Shazam, baby!
Yeah, there it is. So we know who's fired up for this one. And of course, I got to do the usual bit of how much money it made. You know, I got to do the money thing. You know, it's all about the dollars, right?
I know. I'm going to put that graphic of the woman again with the dollar signs.
Of course. Well, that's all that matters really for these companies anyway. But Warner Brothers and DC Films Shazam, brought the thunder this weekend, opening with a terrific $56.775 million in its domestic debut.
Yeah, not too shabby.
Pretty good.
Pretty good paycheck.
And for all you folks out there who have not seen it right now, we'll give you just the basic overview. But later on, we will get into this movie, so there will be the spoiler alert. So if you haven't seen this movie yet, and we get to that portion of the podcast,
pause it and come back.
Pause it and come back.
Bookmark it. And then I'm going to put the timer on the video that's going to say 5 minutes till spoilers.
Exactly.
See, 1 minute till spoilers.
Get ready.
10 seconds.
So here we go. So let's talk about this movie, folks. So going into it, I'll admit my knowledge of DC is a little slim. So some of you folks right there that are watching it right now, start hitting the comment button of what I need to know. Mm-hmm. But we got our man DJ GOC who will drop some knowledge for us here today. And well, going into this movie, guys, I had no expectations. You know, you could kind of see it was going to be a bit campy, a little corny, more of the humorous side of being a superhero, which is kind of cool. I mean, after all, I mean, I'm not giving away anything here, but he's a teenager. Yes, come on, let's get real.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about it. Okay. So who wants to break it down? How he got his powers? Go ahead, Jill. What happened?
All right. Here? So the original one. Obviously, you know, Shazam, Billy Batson, a kid. Do we know what the Shazam stands for again? What is it, like the seven heroes?
Seven
Greek gods, right? What is it?
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
I'm drawing a blank here,
you know,
but yeah.
Great. Somebody's typing it right
of
now.
Of course, like, you guys
yeah.
are not.
Yeah,
but anyway.
You should do your homework.
Exactly.
Basically,
somebody's typing it right now.
This old wizard, I'm going to super, super water it down.
Yes, please do.
So this wizard was like, I'm dying. I got to pass on these awesome powers. So I need to find someone that's pure of heart, that is not evil, that will not, you know, pretty much isn't a chump, but it's still cool. Like, so they chose Billy.
It was worthy.
It was worthy. Yeah, like, see? Got moms over here.
Yeah, I pay attention.
Okay.
So that, oh yeah.
You go, no,
no. No, 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 yeah, okay, so anyway, so that's, so along comes Billy, he sees him worthy, and so the old man, old wizard, basically becomes like a mentor in the comics. You know, so he gives him all these powers, and he becomes Shazam, pretty much the perfect human being, the perfect man, as far as strength, speed, agility, and, you know, the whole nine yards. What's interesting about Shazam, though, which I found, his original name was actually Captain Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
Captain Marvel.
The original Captain Marvel.
And he actually outsold Superman when they first came out.
See, that's why we needed you for all this
history. I have a
history.
Funny feeling we're going to have a Captain Marvel debate going on here later on today, but go on.
Yeah. So, you know, so then, and they, to me, from this movie, it seemed like they're following the rebirth, the new 52 DC, because there were a lot of newer ideas as opposed to the original one.
Yeah, I think we probably touched base on it before we came on.
Yeah.
Like some of the ideas.
And yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to fly in 2019. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. But I am glad, though, that the direction they went with this movie. To me, like you, I don't have any expectations. I knew something about Shazam, you know, the whole history, but not as in-depth as like a Marvel character. Okay. But I was still pretty familiar with this whole background, so I was interested in seeing how they would take that movie.
Okay.
You know, so I was actually pleasantly surprised. I actually enjoyed it more than I thought it would.
Joss is the mama of the crew here.
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it? Go ahead, tell us why.
I'm serious. I think because I've been, and I'm talking about, okay, I could tell it was like a comedy. I'm looking at as far as an entertainment value, considering I didn't know anything about Shazam. I saw the artwork from Alex Ross, so I have to say the artwork's spectacular.
Yes.
Not even knowing who he is. And I do remember Saturday mornings watching a little bit, but those memories didn't, like, stay in me to make, oh, yeah, I don't know anything. So when I watched this, it was all right. It was all right. So, I mean, honestly, I would have just waited to just watch it at home on my big screen versus thing. But to me, it was like DC light. Okay. Like crystal light. This was like DC light.
What made it light? Was it the comedy element?
It was the comedy and also like the actors. It wasn't as intense as I thought it would be. And maybe that's what Shazam's about. Like I said, I don't know anything about Shazam. So I came with it like just a really open mind. Then knowing now that, oh, he was the original Captain Marvel and he outsold Superman, so there's more history. Okay, now I'm going to have a different appreciation probably by the end of the podcast, understand this character, that when, you know, if and when they do a sequel, be like, okay, I get it. Mm-hmm. So I know with this one, it had the origin story, and I didn't know anything about the origin story, but I'm like, okay, it's an origin story. So, mm-hmm. I don't know, it was okay, but I didn't really like it so much. Okay. I mean, it was okay. Mm-hmm. It was okay.
All right, well, that being said, my thoughts on it was just that, you know, going into it, I had no idea. Well, I kind of had an idea of it. I mean, I watched Shazam back in the 70s, where it was the camper, mm-hmm. back on CBS on Saturday mornings. And I was a little kid back then, so I really didn't have a clue what was going on, but I just remember the guy would yell Shazam, and all of a sudden he's a superhero, right? I go, wow, he's like Superman type of thing. And the one thing, you know, going into it that I do understand is the fact that, yeah, like Gio mentioned, the fact that he outsold Superman going into it. And then, you know, looking at him, he's Captain Marvel, you know. And I'm sure we don't need to get into the legalese of why all of a sudden there's a Captain Marvel in the Marvel side. Hint, hint, maybe.
Right.
But anyways, that being said, I got to admit, I was entertained. And the wife, who isn't much of a comic person, was very much entertained. So, you know, I kind of value her opinion on it, too. It doesn't influence me, but... you know, going into it, I didn't have any expectations. I figured it would be a little campy, which it was. Campy, a little corny, and, you know, like we said, DC light, but it'd be DC's version of Deadpool, but obviously way lighter than Deadpool, because, you know, definitely lighter than Deadpool, because, first of all, you're not breaking fourth wall, and secondly, it's not rated R, and it's more geared for family.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought it was more like a DC's Ant-Man.
When
I first saw Ant-Man, I was like, okay, this is going to be the cheesy kind of happy. And then I was like, really surprised. Like, wow, okay.
Yeah, I like Ant-Man better than this, to be honest.
Okay. Well, you know, it's good. So a couple of things, though, that we, you know, will get to before we get to the spoilers, though. I think it's kind of obvious, you know, seeing this character and just some of the knowledge that, and I know a lot of folks right now who are listening to the Everyday Nerd podcast right now. You got my man, you got Lou P, DJ GOC, and Jocelyn in the house. And one of the parts that I must admit, you're looking into it and you're like, wow, you know, this guy could possibly, you know, with previous knowledge, this guy could possibly be as strong or maybe as big as Superman.
Now, right? I have a question because I don't know Shazam,
mm-hmm.
but is he supposed to be strong as Superman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And is he supposed to have, like, similar powers to Superman?
So, I'm gonna look it up, because this is driving me crazy. Like,
Shazam
stands for, you know, all the Greek gods.
Okay. See,
so he's got all the
guys are writing right now. Somebody's typing it in, correcting us right now what it means, but go right ahead, so then we can say it. But the one thing I will say, so, not to touch on spoilers, but it's like, you know there's something about this character that, you know, as much as campy and comedic as he was, there's something about him too.
So I had a hard time with that because, I mean, I knew he was a kid, and then you see, you know, him, Zach Levi, portraying still like that kid mindset, that immature mindset, waiting for him to switch to like adult mode or whatever. But again, I was like, I don't understand as far as, like, how much potential does he truly have?
Well, that's the great thing about it. I mean, go ahead, Jim.
Found it. Okay.
Here we go.
Sorry, my fellow nerds.
He found it. While they were all typing it now, there's like a list of it, like, now, but he's going to say it. We're going to drop knowledge.
All right. So, she's S, you know, the wisdom of Solomon, H, the strength of Hercules, A is the stamina of Atlas, including knowing vulnerability when he got.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And Z is the power of Zeus, which explains the lightning and all that stuff. And A, courage of Achilles. And then M is the speed of Mercury, including his flight. Oh, that's
cool. Would you say M was?
Was what?
Speed of Mercury.
Speed of Mercury, yeah.
Now, if you guys recall, that's what the wizard said to him.
Yes.
Before he gave him the powers.
See,
see, that's why everybody right now is saying, you dummies were not listening. The guy broke down what Shazam
I didn't
meant.
Follow. I thought it was just dialogue.
I'll admit that. Hey, I'm with you, Joss. But, you know, that's the thing. So folks right now, they're like, you guys.
And what's really interesting about, you know, talking about Superman and Shazam, so I'm kind of nerding, jumping around.
Go ahead.
But,
go ahead.
So they actually sued because Shazam wasn't with DC. It was with another comic. Okay. I think they were called Flash Comics or something like that. But then they couldn't use that because there was another character.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they knew it was a blatant ripoff of Superman. So they actually took him to court. DC won the case. But then it was overturned by a judge saying that just because he has a cape, just has superpowers, does not mean they have no copyright on superheroes. So because of that court case, that actually opened up a whole plethora of superheroes that we don't
Wow. That's
interesting. I mean, I think in a future podcast will be something we're going to discuss here anyway, since three of us are here today.
That was awesome.
But yeah, I mean, that is true. I mean, how many characters do we see with capes and muscles? They're just, you know, top of your head.
So, and that always is interesting because in the comics and in the DC animated movies, they always kind of have this rivalry. Shazam and Superman.
Oh.
So, yeah, if you ever watch those movies, they had this really good dynamic. And also, kind of speaking about Shazam, how he's still a kid. He's Billy Batson. He's still, even though he's like this big dude, mentally, he's still this 14, 15-year-old kid, as you saw in, you know, even in the trailers.
In the trailer
he's like, I would like a taste to purchase your tasty beverages, you know, and, you know, stuff like that. And he's still geeking out, you know, eating all the comics and.
So, yeah, exactly.
I like that. And I like that it's set in the current DC universe.
Mm-hmm. What I liked about it, too, that it was the fact that, you know, I know Joss was like, wait, is he supposed to be an adult? Is he supposed to be this? Mm-hmm. I liked how they kept them consistently as a 14-year-old.
That
was really good. The fact that it's a, hey, you're a 14-year-old, yet you have, I mean, can we imagine having all these powers as a 14-year-old?
He didn't know what to do with it.
Exactly. You don't know. I mean, and look. I mean, yeah, we'll get into that. I almost dropped something there. But, you know, it's just, if you're a 14-year-old and you have these powers, what really do you do? That's a question we're going to throw out for you folks that are watching right now. Go ahead, comment on it. Say,
I know what my 14-year-old would be doing. My 14, if he had powers, he'd be doing, like, super breakdancing skills.
There you go. Well, the legendary one, be a YouTube star.
You know.
World of Dance. Here we
World
come,
of
you
dance.
Know. There it is. Jennifer Lopez would be giving him prizes. There it is. It's all set.
Watch out, A-Rod.
Exactly. You know, I'm the real man here type of deal. And, you know, that's the thing. So I loved how they kept him in that 14-year-old mindset. Because, you know, we're adults, so we're like, oh, we would do this, we would do that.
Yeah, but if you think back, well, we were 14-year-olds, so we would have probably done the same thing.
Exactly.
Taking selfies, trying to make money from it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. See, so that being said, you know, let's start diving into this real movie. So, at this point...
Well, wait. If you didn't watch the spoilers, I think... Or if you didn't watch the movie, I think you should... You know, it's a good movie. If you want entertainment value and you like superheroes, then watch it.
It had very much a Ant-Man / Spider-Man Homecoming feel. Where it's very entertaining, very...
And it's in high school.
Yeah.
It was in the high school.
Okay.
You know, with that age bracket. So, I think if you had young... It's a good family... Film.
There it is.
It's a good family film. Superhero-esque, you know, so, yeah, go watch it.
Yeah. So, with that being said...
Are we going to go spoilers?
Yes. Now we will dive into this movie. So, at this point, Joss...
Okay. It's now spoiler time. You've been warned. And go.
All right. What I found, what was really cool about this was the fact that, you know, we just mentioned it about how he's a 14-year-old kid. We talk about... The powers that he rivals Superman.
Uh-huh. Okay?
Now, obviously, you know, we could talk about a bulk of this movie, what happens.
Yeah.
But Superman's mentioned a handful of times, which is kind of cool.
Oh, yes, because his brother, Freddy, right?
Yeah,
Freddy?
His adopted brother.
Yeah, because he was a huge Superman fan.
Oh, he was a, you know, the
superhero fan.
He's a super, yeah. He's a comic
geek. Oh, yeah, yeah, he's a comic geek.
He would be listening to us right now and correcting us right
now. Yeah, and he would actually be subscribed to our channel.
Exactly.
And he would be on Facebook following us.
Exactly. But that being said, I like that element of it, how you had a character there who was kind of keeping it consistent of what a hero should be, a superhero should
be.
Thus, they're doing the field test.
Oh, no, that I liked.
Yeah.
That I found entertaining when he discovered, what I found entertaining was when he turned into Shazam, and he didn't know how to get home and how to explain this, but he knew that was a place that he could go.
Exactly.
So then Freddy was, you know, washing dishes. He's like, it's me. And he repeated everything, whatever he had talked about.
Yeah.
So he's like, oh, my God, it is you. And then they would skip school to try and, like, figure out powers. But I liked how Freddy would say, okay, you have this power, you have that power, maybe you have flight, I don't know, try it.
Exactly. And then he was the one breaking it all down of what he could possibly have.
And then he made YouTube videos out of it.
Exactly, and then, they were doing their thing, which was kind of cool.
Which is what we would do.
Which is exactly we talked about. It is exactly what we would do as a 14-year-old. Here's the thing. Obviously, he has, I believe, an injury or a handicap.
Yeah, in the movie, he's handicapped. Yes.
He's handicapped. Okay, so obviously, if you know the hero or this new hero that's showing up all over YouTube, you're gonna want to tell people.
You're
in high school.
Oh,
you're popular.
Of course.
It's like, hey, I know.
Well,
the dude.
That's what got him in trouble.
Exactly. See?
You know, when they called him out with those bullies.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And Josh talked about it, and as far as families go. What's cool about this movie, it does have a family element to it.
Right.
As we, like we said, we didn't want to spoil anything, but at this point we can mention it. The fact that Billy's on a quest to find his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And through the movie, he always was just determined to find his mother. And he has been in a few foster home situations. And in this movie, we're talking about his friend Freddie. They're actually foster brothers.
Mm-hmm.
They're a foster family. So the interesting about it, the element of family is involved in this, and how Billy learned,
it's not your biological.
Exactly.
Just because you have a biological link doesn't make it like family. It's how you treat one another and the love that's in it that creates the family bond.
Exactly.
And so he ended up learning that.
See, that's what I liked about it. The fact that He you could kind of see it coming, but it was good that he developed a love for his family. And, obviously going into, Darla, the little girl, already welcomed him. And he's like a little, well, hold up here. I'm about to bounce. He's already looking ahead, and he's telling his other sister, Mary, that, go to California. You don't need any attachment. Exactly. That was all him being himself guarded.
Right.
Like, why do you need a family? What love? It's all about you. See, and
look after yourself first.
Exactly. And it being the fact that he was abandoned, again, spoiler alert, not to give too much away here, but it doesn't turn out the way he wants it.
Right.
And obviously he learns that his foster family is his family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. I love that message. The fact that he eventually learned that. And even though he had all these powers, it took simple things of the family being threatened that he understood the more responsibility with the powers.
So let's talk about real quick. Remember when there's another part of him where, because he's 14-year-old and he's a superpower, he doesn't understand the responsibility of having to save people, right? And so he's out there and giving autographs, taking pictures, and then that bus scene happened.
And
what did he do? He just got a dirty mattress and put it right there as if that would save the world.
He had no clue. That's the thing. Yeah. That's what I loved about it. He totally showed that, hey, he's a 14-year-old kid. He's not this smart adult that would know, oh, I need to do this, I need to do that. No, he's like, well, here's a mattress. Why don't you jump in that? Maybe that'll work. But no. And that's the cool thing about that is the fact that it showed that, you may have all these powers, and that's where Freddie was yelling at him. Like,
you're
zapped the
bus. You're not doing
anything. Yeah, exactly. It goes again with that old Peter Parker, with Uncle Ben saying, with great power comes great responsibility.
pull out my, let's show what we're, no, my battery charger. When you think it's just so cool. Okay. All right.
There you go.
Okay, now say it again.
With great power comes great responsibility. And there it is. You know, and it transcends all comic genres and characters and everything. But that's a great thing. And, you know, obviously, Mark Strong, great actor playing the baddie in this one, Dr. Thaddeus Savannah.
Yep.
And, you know, we talked about, Gio mentioned the fact that Billy Batson was first was picked because he was chosen. He was the chosen one. But but years before, Thaddeus was picked in 1975, but he showed he wasn't worthy. You know, and that's the funny thing about that. In my opinion, you know, I get why he wasn't worthy. He was drawn by the power of the demons and everything like that. I get that. But for Billy, what made Billy qualified? Or, you know, let's talk about this. I'm talking just in the movie sense. Comic sense, I'm sure it'll break it down. But in the movie sense, it just seemed like he was desperate and he grabbed somebody.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was trying not to laugh during the movie and he goes, "You're all I have left." I'm like, "Wow, you're like a pity day, bro." Is that what's going on here? Like, I guess I'll go out with you. Like, all right. You're the only one here. You're the last man on earth. I'm about to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, screw it.
Screw it. But yeah, see, that's the thing. I mean, I felt at that point, I go, well, okay, what made Billy Batson worthy at that point? Look, let's break it down. Maybe because he's quote unquote innocent because he's 14. But look, he was stealing information. You know, he was doing tricks on the cops. He was a runaway.
I didn't get him worthy. I didn't get it.
Is it the purity of the heart?
Yeah.
Family. I don't know. See, that's what kind of made me scratch my head a little bit. That wait a minute, and even Thaddeus himself, even Dr. Savannah said it. What makes you worthy?
And
it was a 14-year-old kid. He was going nuts. It's like, why are you worthy of being the champion?
You got to remember at the end, not to jump ahead, but remember that gave Thaddeus his power? As a kid, he reached for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as an adult, he got it. Billy had it, and he still didn't want it.
Is that the point? Yeah. That maybe it's because Billy doesn't want it?
Yeah,
and he wouldn't be drawn to it, like,
yeah, maybe he,
you
felt
know,
that.
He's like, yeah, so what? I mean, okay, he had that attitude regardless, even when he was a superhero. What?
Okay, fair enough. And I'm sure folks are already commenting that, dummy, you didn't see that part. Yeah. But hey, no, seriously though, I mean, I get why Dr. Savannah had an issue with that. Now, a couple of scenes that I found pretty intense was when he took out his family.
Oh, yeah.
That was like, whoa.
That's going to be an awkward Thanksgiving.
That was like, wow. He just went straight evil and just took out that whole board.
Oh, that was actually cool. That was action.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was action. Now, let's talk about that, with that, with the seven deadly sins and stuff and, like, all those monsters.
Yes.
So then Dr. Savant, they were all in him.
Well, because of the
that eyeball,
the eye thing, right?
Which was envy, in a sense.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. You know, and
that was kind of cool how he dragged envy out. How envy was the driving force for him. He was envy that Billy had these powers.
Oh, okay.
He was like you said, brother. Envy with brother, envy with, you know, dad being successful and all this and that.
Oh.
So you could totally see it. And
cool.
I liked how they brought out envy the way they did.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool. So. And speaking of which, bringing out stuff, now we could talk about it. I mean, I thought it was really cool. And, Gio, you're going to break it down a little further for us, how they all gathered around. They got to the pool, and they said, "Say my name." And they all said, "Billy."
Billy.
But then when they said Shazam, lo and behold, what did we see at that moment, Gio?
The Shazam family, baby.
Oh, there it is.
Awesome.
Talk to us about the Shazam family.
I don't get it. All right, so basically, you know, it's the foster kids that turn into the new Shazam family. They each have their own powers. So in the original comic with Freddy, he actually got hurt during a fight with, of course, you got to remember, this is back in those days.
Yeah.
The evil villain was named Dr. Nazi. Very creative. Clearly.
Yes.
Clearly. So in order to save Freddy, Shazam actually gave him part of his powers.
Okay.
And that's kind of how that came about. And then later on, you know, kind of evolved to the whole family. They even had like a Shazam dog at one point.
A Shazam dog?
Yeah.
I do recall seeing
Shazam puppers.
Mm-hmm.
So, And, you know, it was interesting because I'm glad they didn't put that in the trailer. That was a really good surprise. Like, hey, haha,
we got. I actually was surprised about that. I didn't expect the family. I thought where it was leading up, like, okay, he's there to save his family. And it's like, okay, this is my family. I didn't expect the whole, like, all the kids to turn into, like, his brothers and sisters.
Yeah. I thought they would maybe in the sequel they would do, because I knew about the Shazam family. Especially the new with the rebirth, the foster kids were the new Shazam. So I thought maybe they'll be introduced in the second movie. Okay. So that was cool. But of course I should have picked up on it because the wizard does say, he points back to his, you know, the seats and goes, they're empty. The seats, this is where my brothers and sisters are. Okay, obviously, because I'm foreshadowing going on there.
If you didn't pick up on
that. Yeah. And interesting, there were 7 seats and there's only 6 of them.
That's true.
So.
What does that mean?
There's a 7th Shazam. There.
It's a 7th Shazam?
Yeah, Shazam, where you know 7th character.
Is it the dog?
Okay.
Could be the dog. But I don't know. I don't know. So it sets up
somebody else.
It sets it up.
Like another one who comes into the foster fold?
Quite possibly.
Hmm.
And with that being said, let's get to...
Which I have a theory about that. We'll talk about that.
We'll get to... Obviously, now DC kind of took the script from Marvel about...
Character development.
Character development, you're proud of that, but doing mid-credit and end-credit scenes.
Yes.
Okay, so the one thing we finish, you know, right before the movie ends, which is kind of cool.
You know,
Freddy shows everybody, hey, I really know the guy, and here he
comes. Oh, yeah, well, before we got set up, though, because the first time, he wanted to show off because of the bullies were like, yeah, I'm going to beat you up, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, you really know the red, whatever his name was. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, he's going to show up. And then, of course, he didn't show up. So then the whole school was laughing at him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had that suitcase wedgie, as they called it.
Yeah, that's true.
And then at the end, it was cool because nobody wanted to sit with him again at the very end.
Yeah.
But then his family shows up. And it looks like, wow, they all, you know, it's cool. It's like, wow, I didn't expect them to all be together again.
Yeah.
And then Billy shows up as Shazam, like, hey, look who's here. But then he brought his friend, and that was actually pretty cool.
That was pretty cool. And his friend he brought was some guy named Superman.
Might have heard about him. I don't know.
You might have heard of him, which is kind of cool.
I thought it was funny, though. They did not, because obviously, they're still trying to figure out who the next
Superman
is.
Yeah, who the next one.
How they cut it off.
Exactly. That was perfect how they did it.
Yeah, so I loved it. That was great.
Wasn't Cavill, so that's kind of cool. So that's I loved how that ended. Now, if you notice, before we get to mid-credit scene, the drawings, and we just talked about it. We talked about how Shazam is just as strong as Superman.
Yeah.
You see the arm wrestling, and Shazam was like laughing at him and everything. And how
are you talking about like the cartoon?
Yeah, the cartoon. That's great. Yeah. Because to me, what we were seeing there was, hey, this is him. This is a 14-year-old kid going around. Look, I'm hanging around with the Justice League guys and whatever. Oh, there's Batman. Well, I'm taking his car.
Yeah.
There's Superman. I'm arm wrestling him. Oh, here's Wonder Woman. Hey, you want to be my prom date type of thing? Look at that. See, that is what a 14-year-old kid would do with powers like this. It's like, hey, oh, you want to hang out with Superman? Yeah, I know the guy. You know, and I can take him on. So, and let's get to mid-credits. So, mid-credits scene, we see the doctor again. He's... writing all the stuff you do see, the hieroglyphics, I guess.
Yeah.
And, now, slowly, when we saw the progression of how the wizard was trying to get a champion, when we first see him, he has a lot more things there. Yes. Now, when Billy shows up, like, half the stuff is gone. We notice that, see? But then, obviously, we see, if you caught it the first time, you see that, like, wormy type of creature.
Yep.
Gio, you want to explain who the
worm is? Mr. Mime.
Ah, there we go.
Who?
What?
Oh,
the little worm thing that looks like a little worm from Labyrinth?
Exactly.
Are you talking about at the window?
Yeah.
But was he shown before?
He was shown in the cave.
Shown before.
Yeah, where was he shown?
In the cave with the Van Wizard.
When it was the wizard.
He was talking about the Seven Realms.
He was talking to Seven Realms, but it was the first time when Thaddeus was first taken to 75. You saw all the stuff there, and he was in a jar type of
casing. Oh, okay,
but then
when
Billy shows up, he's gone.
Yeah.
Right.
He's gone, and obviously the demons are gone because they're now with...
Okay.
So it's his little worm, who's an alien, who is supposedly the smartest being in the universe.
Okay.
But of course, it's kind of cool because, you know, like small little worm, you don't think much, but he's like this huge evil genius.
Yeah. Oh, so is he a bad guy then?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, good guy, bad guy. Well, just break it down.
Yeah. Good guy, bad guy, fish worm, whatever. You know, fish bait. It's all good. It's all the same. But yeah, yeah. So he actually goes around and, you know, obviously doing a lot of chaos in the comics. So I think it's cool. I'm glad they kind of introduced a little character.
Mm-hmm.
So my theory about the whole sequel.
What's going to come on next?
I think that we're going to. Okay. Sorry. I'm kind of. So I like Mark's character that he was the villain, but he wasn't so predominant. Like he wasn't like an overpowering force, and
yeah,
you know, it didn't overtake the,
right,
the Shazam storyline.
Yeah,
I think it was great. A lot of people I remember like, oh well, he didn't seem very empowered, very scary to me. But okay, yeah, but you're not a 14-year-old kid that has no idea what's going on.
Exactly.
Even the seven deadly sins tell him stop him before he finds his true potential, or else
yeah,
he will defeat you.
Yeah.
So with Mr. Mind, when he said, "Silly, you know, there's other ways to get the power besides magic." Okay, so I think, obviously, they're setting it up, I think, for Black Adam, which I think he's going to be the seventh character.
Black Adam is, you know, rumor has it being played by some guy named Dwayne Johnson, who happens to be an executive producer
for
the movie series. So I'm expecting Black Adam for the next movie, and I'm sure a lot of folks are, too.
I really do, because I think Black Adam, they thought he was a chosen one. He was pure. But it turns out he used that power for evil.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be big in the next
one. So that worm is going to be Black Adam?
No. I think he's going to somehow find Black Adam.
Give
him the power or something.
Because he'll be Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah. Because he said there's other ways to get the power other than
the magic.
The magic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to introduce Dwayne The Rock Johnson's character.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then with the Shazam family, are they like, I guess, they go out and battle, I'm assuming, right? I mean, do they have, like, their own strengths? And
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I liked how Freddy was trying to figure out his power. That's pretty cool. See, he's trying to figure out his power, and I'm sure we'll see later on. Because they were figuring it out during the battle, though.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. And that's why Freddy's trying to figure out, well, what exactly do I do? So I'm figuring later on they'll have a few tussles with some other characters.
I do like how they played on the characters, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say weaknesses, but the traits, like the little girl. She's the smallest one, but her Shazam character is the fastest one.
Yeah.
Of the family. So. You know, and then you got Pablo, who is like the biggest kid there.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. We have to go back. I don't know what happened.
Oh.
Go back to, you said the kids. Go back to the kids.
Go.
What did I say about the kids?
I don't know. You said something about the kids.
You're breaking down the powers of the family.
Oh, so it was interesting. Oh, yeah. So it was really interesting about the Shazam family. Is their powers were kind of, I don't want to say, for example, the little girl. She's the smallest one, but she was the fastest one. And then Pablo, who was kind of like the quietest one, but he became like kind of like really charismatic.
Yeah,
like
exactly. Really powerful. He kind of got out of his shell type of
thing. Yeah. And what's funny, the Asian kid from
Fresh Off the Boat
in the comic, his power, which I'm like, okay, that's kind of... He can tap into the technology, and I'm like, all right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, you know, all right, I guess. But I'm like, all right, it works. And then the older sister, she with the Shazam family, the new one, she's kind of like the motherly character.
Okay.
So, which kind of makes sense. Yeah. And then Freddy, he's kind of like the default character in like a fighting game. He's kind of all arounder, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
And I do like how he says, I've studied the techniques of all the great heroes.
Yeah.
You know, like yep, that's my nerd. Hell yeah.
Yeah, there
he
is.
I feel it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's good. Cool.
Now, I learned something.
Let's wrap it up where DC had a end credit scene, too, in this movie. And so you stuck around. Hopefully you stuck around for this. Now,
hopefully they taught you after all these years. You don't leave.
Well, no.
That's a Marvel rule.
Hey, now DC's jumping on boards, which is fine. Hey,
it's enjoyable.
It's good. You know, it makes you stick around for all the credits. You get to hear the soundtrack and you get to see your friends' names up there. You know,
exactly.
But anyways, that being said, I love the end credit. It was funny because it was kind of a play on just
what everybody thought.
What everybody thought.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Just they poked fun at, what I love is they poked fun at probably one of their best money makers and the fact that everybody loves him.
Yeah.
And just the fact that, oh, well, because when you first see, like, well, what's he doing?
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Holding that fish.
Exactly.
He's like, well, so you're not telepathic?
You're not telepathic. Like, that's just great.
Like, why was like, you know?
Yeah, so they're like, Billy's like, what, holding this little fish tank with the goldfish, trying to talk to it. And he's like, oh, well, he's like being sarcastic, like, what, this is stupid. Like, what are we, he's like, pretty much says, what are we going to talk to a fish? What's so useful about that? Cause this is really, as kids, we all thought that. He talks to fish. Congratulations, Aquaman. What do you do? Exactly. But then Freddy's like, oh, I don't know. Maybe control billions of creatures at once. And I'm like, and he goes, oh yeah, that's a good point. That's a good, so I thought
and
that
he's
was
like,
cool.
He had the Aquaman shirt.
Yeah. That was awesome. I got to give DC credit. That was a hell of a way to end it. That was a cool way to end it. Great ending scene. Props on that. So, me personally, we'll go around on this one. We'll finish it off. Me personally, I thought it was a nice family entertainment movie.
Yeah.
I mean, definitely, I would give it out of 10. I'll go 7, maybe 7.5.
What kind of grade would you give it? A B? A B minus?
I'll go B. I'll go solid B. Oh. It's a solid B. We're not touching the A. It's a solid B for what it was.
Okay.
I'm not going to say C because C means it's mediocre. Yeah. I mean, we can go to other movies and we go C, D, and Fs. But this one is...
Green Lantern.
Why are you talking about Green Lantern, man? That's messed up.
That never happened. We don't talk about Green Lantern.
Exactly. Or the Fantastic Four. What was that?
Oh, God.
That never happened.
Come on, DC. You're redeeming yourselves.
Is that all coming out?
I'm sorry. I was traumatized.
Is that all coming out? Anyways, with that being said, I give it a B. Mine's a B. Go around. Okay. We'll go around the horn. Everybody else?
Sure. I agree. Solid B. B plus, I would say. I came in not really expecting much. I was excited about it because I was like, this is going to be a fun movie. I knew off the bat it was going to be fun. And actually, I liked it better than Captain Marvel. Like, thinking about it the other day, I was like, wow, just nothing really big that stuck out with me from Captain Marvel that made me want to go see it.
Okay.
So I was like, but with Shazam, there were so many fun parts and elements to it that, and I think they had a great job with the casting. Mm-hmm. That you really connected with these characters. And quick prediction.
Yes.
With Marvel's, obviously, their Endgame coming up and Spider-Man Homecoming, they're going to take a break from the MCU. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is smart. You know, you don't want to burn out. But I think now that DC's kind of found the rhythm with Marvel kind of taking a step back, I think DC's really going to step up.
It's and time.
It's going to be a good time for all.
You got your window now.
Comic fans.
Oh, yes. Wonder Woman 2 is coming out.
Wonder Woman's coming out.
Yeah.
You better do something.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, hey, who would have known that character development DC would actually matter?
Oh, wow. How about that? So, Joss?
You know, it still haven't changed. I mean, I gave it a B minus.
There you go. B minus.
I mean, it was kind of predictable in a sense, but except for the family part, which I didn't know about.
I didn't know about it. I wasn't expecting
it. And I, you know, I didn't know anything again about Shazam. But yet, just the themes of the movie, I thought Zachary Levi, he was okay. He wasn't, I thought I would expect more from him. I think I was actually expecting more of a Ryan Reynolds coming out of him, more like sarcasm, more smartness. But he definitely was a 14-year-old mindset. So I'm like, okay, you know, but I would have wanted something a little bit more from it. So it was okay. But my son's 14 and he actually agrees with you. He said that was way better than Captain Marvel. I'm like, why? And he's like, no, all of it.
You know, it's
really
great. It was great.
Really?
People right now are commenting why your son and he's wrong. Either they're doing that or
they probably think I'm wrong.
Saying, oh, I'm glad Gio said it. See, that's why. It's one of the two. Nobody's gonna go in between.
No, I don't know. No, I don't know if I was. Well, okay. Well, I guess I do like. Maybe I do like Captain Marvel better, only because.
Is it the strong female character thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you feel it's just.
But then I like Captain Marvel because I like the Tesseract story. I like how it still fits in line with all about the Avengers stuff that I could see the connections happening.
Gotcha.
And I've always like things that I can connect to and like find pieces.
Yeah. Because
that's how my mind works. With this one, I don't have a reference point. I don't have a reference point for Shazam. But now that I know that, it's like, okay, well then give me the second movie. I would probably appreciate the next movie because I'm like, okay, I already saw the first one. That kind of introduced me to who they are, what they're supposed to be. So now give me more of the meat of what they can do.
Okay. Well, I mean, but you feel Captain Marvel's just
for her? To me, like I said, I've said it before. I feel like it's a filler, like a filler episode, like an old Dragon Ball movie. You know what I mean? Like, all right, we'll wait till Goku gets here, you know?
And then we'll just pose for
Because, I mean, I get, And again, it kind of goes back to the whole casting. I feel like they had just better casting with Shazam. The characters were great. The actors who portrayed these characters were phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And with Captain Marvel, I was like, why are you so mad? Like, what are you mad about? Like, I get it, but damn. And it felt like they're like, hey, we got it. We got to give them something before Endgame comes down. We got to kind of shoehorn everything in make it all make sense. And I'm like, okay, cool.
Obviously, we're
like, I didn't hate it. Don't get me wrong, but I think.
You know, and yeah, here, okay, that's DJGOC who's saying all that for all
bring
the
it!
Folks that are. Anyways, no.
I welcome all comments and suggestions.
We do. We welcome it all, and I think maybe it's like you said, maybe it's a setup for more what's going to happen in this.
It is.
I would like it to be a setup.
I'm hoping it, because if it's not, then I'm going to be with him.
Well, but yeah, you know what, though? Yeah. I want more graphics, meaning. When I say Shazam, I'm thinking in my head, like I said, I think I've been biased because I look at Alex Ross and his paintings. Yeah. And I love those images. So in my head, I'm like, I want to say that kind of stuff. Okay. As far as like the visual, artistic, and it's like, it's like a regular moon to me.
I think the second movie is going to bring him a lot more of that. I think that this one is more of the, hey, let's get you in. Because you got to realize too, not a lot of people know about Shazam.
Okay.
Just kind of like with Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
It was one of the lesser known Marvel properties and it became one of the most profitable ones.
Exactly. Okay, so I hate to say this, and I know I'm getting a lot of hate, but I actually kind of compare it to a Power Rangers movie.
Which one? Guardians?
Oh, no.
No, this one.
Shazam?
Because they were all colorful.
Power Rangers is horrible.
So the comment box, you want to type in...
That's Joss. Her name is Joss.
So in that comment section, go right ahead. Go out of town, people.
But I don't know. It's just because it's like, okay, because it was like that campy stuff. And they had like the different colors.
Of course.
And they had the different, you know.
They were Jolly Ranchers.
and then I'm like, okay, all of a sudden, I don't know why, but I just felt like I'm looking at a Power Ranger group with the different colors and the different stuff. And it's like.
Maybe the next movie they're gonna go really dark like Justice League and it'll be like Martha Shazam.
No, let's not do it. DC's finally on track now. Let's come on now. Okay.
Oh God.
All right. Any final thoughts on this as we wrap it up? Folks?
More conflict. Bring on more conflict.
More conflict. You.
More conflict.
You, Gio.
I think DC they really set themselves up for to be really great the next few years. Especially since Marvel is going to be taking a step back. Now is their time to shine.
Exactly.
Like, legit. Like, just keep going at it. You know, take respect. Respect the property. Respect the characters and what they stand for all fans. You know, because you're really setting it up, honestly, for long-term fans.
And to piggyback what Gio said, you know, we talked about it during our Aquaman podcast, how frustrated I was with the fact that, you know, they did Wonder Woman, they did Aquaman. These were solid movies.
Yeah.
But, we have to throw in Justice League because we want to get that Avengers money, you know, that Marvel. No. If you set it up correctly, like how Marvel did it.
10 years, people.
Then you would have been making the money. But, again, you're trying to jump on that bandwagon and we'll get all the debates
about it. By then, we're going to have a different Batman. We're going to have a different Superman. So. We're going to keep Jason. We're going to keep Gal.
See, he's already locked in, right?
Just said Jason.
Like they're good friends.
First name basis. You know, I talked to Jason the other day. Exactly, got done working out.
We were doing sets together. You know,
he was doing his chest pecs thing. Right, you know.
He had to walk by me for approval. You know, I get what she's saying. So. Okay, with that being said, we're getting silly now. So, for DJ GOC... Jocelyn, I'm Lou P. Thank you, and
I've got to do the housekeeping before we leave. So you know what? You can find us. We got a web page, people. Web page. We're big time now. Hey. So go on our web page, theeverydaynerdpodcast.com, created by our own silent partner Jesse.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, and then, of course, follow us on Facebook, Everyday Nerd Podcast. We've got some great things going on, news posts, jokes. We throw it all in there. But, you know, with the Everyday Nerd Podcast website, it's your opportunity as nerds, if you've got art, if you like to write articles, if you got your favorite comic book or you did a review on something, send it to us. Send it to us on everydaynerdpodcast@gmail, right? Gmail.com.
Yes.
And we want to put it up. So that's what the whole website is for. It's a platform.
Yes. And also don't forget the brackets.
Yes, we'll talk. We'll get into that.
We'll get into brackets.
Definitely. Yeah. But cheer for everything. You want to check out Everyday Nerd, the Everyday Nerd Podcast.com.
The Everyday Nerd Podcast.com.
Everyday Nerd Podcast
on Facebook.
Yes.
Facebook.
You want to go there for a lot of you Facebookers. Go on there. We're doing something pretty awesome starting this week. Mm-hmm. Hopefully tonight, maybe. But we're going to have a good time doing it. Hopefully you participate. Again, I'm your boy Lou P, along with DJ GOC and our mama Jocelyn. Thank you for checking us out and coming on by. And till next time, see
ya. Bye.
Shazam!